before we begin our lesson, I want to tell you about this movie. Had a pre-screening or special event screening last Thursday. Cindy and I and Brian Baer went to it. Good movie. I want to encourage you to go see it. But I give you this one thing about it that you need to understand. It is done from the perspective of faith only. Okay, and so that's one of the things that they talk about in terms of telling people that, you know, that they're saved by taking Jesus into their heart. That's going to be there. You're going to see that. What I want to encourage you to do is to go see this movie because of the message that it has that says, look, you say you believe in God, but what are you doing with that, your faith? Okay? So I want to encourage you to go see this movie. Again, keep in mind the message is different than what we believe in terms of what it takes for a person to be saved. That part of the message is there. Just kind of put that over here and listen to the message about what we're doing with our belief. Okay? So I just want to encourage you to see that. We're talking about crazy love. God's crazy, relentless love for us. That He just continues to pursue us with this love because He wants us to be in relationship with Him. And so this is about getting to know Him, not from a religion standpoint, not from just a going to church standpoint, but from a relationship standpoint. That's what God wants with us. And it's learning then to love God and to love His creation. That's what this is really all about. As we have been talking about from the beginning of this study, what we're trying to do is to understand in relationship this God that we pray to and find out what is He like. You see? What are His characteristics, His attributes? Who is this God that has this crazy, relentless love for us? And most importantly, it is about why God deserves. Why does He deserve our worship and our love and our obedience? Because of His very nature and because of His pursuit of us. Why does He deserve that, you say? Now, this morning, we're winding down in this series, and next week we will conclude this series on crazy love. This particular lesson this morning, lesson number 9, has to deal with the profile of the obsessed. Okay, so we're going to talk about obsession this morning. So we start out in this particular lesson talking about being obsessed with loving God. If this God is pursuing us with His crazy love that He has for us, say, then shouldn't we return that love and be obsessed with loving Him rather than just saying, well, you know, yeah, I love God. We're talking about being obsessed with loving Him. Okay? You see, we become as people obsessed with a lot of different things in our lives, don't we? I mean, there's a lot of things that people are just really obsessed with. It's things like, you know, sports. I mean, right now, March Madness is going on, and people are obsessed with basketball, right? And when people are obsessed with sports, we call them fanatics, right? You see, so we have a lot of sports fanatics out there. We have people that are obsessed with video games, people that just play those things constantly. Amen. Their life is wrapped up in video games. How about those folks that are obsessed with work? Can't ever seem to get away from it. They bring it home with them all the time and constantly working because they're obsessed with their work. I know that none of you have this problem, being obsessed with Facebook, right? Okay? I mean, you know, we can even get you a certificate if you want a Facebook certificate to show that you are obsessed with what's going on with all of your quote-unquote friends out there in cyberspace, all right? And people are obsessed with that. And I think probably one of the telltale signs of another huge problem that humanity has is that we are obsessed with ourselves, thus the selfie stick that has come about. Where people are so obsessed with themselves that they desire to take pictures of themselves in different situations with different people and so forth, thus the birth of the selfie stick. So that people can cure their obsession, so to speak, or feed their obsession with themselves. We are obsessed with a lot of things in this life. The one thing that we should be obsessed with is our love for God. When we talk about obsession, what do we mean? Well, here's a definition for us. To haunt or excessively preoccupy the mind. You ever had those things where you talk about it and say, well, I got this thought that just keeps haunting me all the time. It's following me around everywhere. You say? Or this excessively is constantly focused on this particular thing. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about being obsessed with something. And that's something we want to focus on today, first of all, is our love for God. Okay? So here's a question for you. What if you were obsessed with loving God? Okay? What if you were obsessed with loving God? What would that look like? All right? I want you to think about that for a moment. What would it look like if you were obsessed, that is, haunted, or excessively preoccupied with loving God? What would that look like for you? Well, Jesus answers this question this way. When he's asked, what's the greatest commandment? Notice that he says, the greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with, help me out here, all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. You see, all is the key word in this passage, isn't it? Because all points to obsessiveness. That is, obsessively loving God. Because all means with everything. You see? All means everything. It is completely inclusive. There is nothing that is left out with which we are to love God. Okay? And so it would begin to look like that we love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. So would you be able then to make this statement? Make it personal. You see, take it from the text that Jesus makes in the statement and make it personal. I will love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, and with all of my strength. See? Are you willing to make that statement and that commitment in your heart to the Lord? Jesus talks about how do we show that love. That we are obsessed with loving Him. If you love me, you will obey what I command. So here's another thought for you along that line. If we truly are obsessed with loving God, then that means we keep how many of His commands?
All.
Thank you. You say, we keep all of them. We don't pick and choose which ones we like and don't like. Say, well, I'm going to keep these because these are convenient, and these over here I'm not going to keep because, well, I don't like them for one thing, and they interrupt my life too much for another. Now, if we love Him, then we keep all of His commands. Okay? We're living our life for Him. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, Jesus there is talking about the church and talking to the church in Ephesus. And he begins by commending them for several of the things that they have been doing, generally speaking. But then notice that he says this. After commending them, he says, but I hold this against you. You have forsaken what? Your first love, which is Him. You say, In other words, you're doing all these things right, you've got all these things going for you, but there's one thing that you're messing up on, and that is that you have forsaken me as your first love. Go back to that first love. You see, when we are obsessed with loving God, then we won't forsake Him, not only that, but we'll make sure that He is the first priority that we take care of in our lives. Not all the other things that are going on, and then pay attention to Him with what's left over, as we talked about a few weeks ago. But He urges us to come back to Him as our first love. And that's what being obsessed with loving God looks like. So, you see, we have to make a choice in our lives when it comes to our relationship with God. And I think that there are too many Christians, and I use that word in a broad sense, who will say this: I believe in God, but I'm not obsessed. I love God, but you know, I don't want to go too far overboard, kind of thing. And then there are those who would make this statement: I don't want to just serve Him. I want to be obsessed with this man that's on the throne of my heart. So, which one are you? Which side of the screen would you find yourself falling on? They will say, hey, look, I'm fine with just going to church, you know, and doing things, but I don't want to carry this thing too far. Or do you want to just not serve God, but you want to be obsessed with Him, the one that sits on the throne of your heart? Which one are you? Secondly, we want to talk about being obsessed with worship. Okay? If we are obsessed with loving God, then I think this one just follows in its footsteps. Okay? And I think that the reverse is all true. If we're not really obsessed with loving God, then worship isn't really that big of a deal to us. And we won't be obsessed with worship. But we've been talking about this God that we pray to and asking ourselves, why does He deserve our worship? Why does God deserve for us to praise Him and honor Him as the God that He really is? Okay? Well, let me challenge you to think about it this way. Let's take a look at worship from a biblical perspective for a moment. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, the specific acts of worship that we find in the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament. I'm talking about the expressions of worship that the Bible shares with us that indicates an obsession with God and an obsession with praising and worshiping Him. Take a look at a couple of these. First of all, as we look at and consider this whole concept of worship, look at what the Chronicles tells us. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory, what? Do His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His
holiness.
His what?
Holiness.
His what?
Holiness.
I think maybe you're getting it. One more time.
His
holiness. Thank you. That's part of the reason we need to worship Him. He is a holy God, and He deserves our worship and praise, does He not?
Amen.
And the earth shouts that in praise and glory to this holy God, this same holy God that is chasing and pursuing us with His crazy, crazy love. He is a holy, awesome God. The psalmist in Psalm 95, beginning in verse 1. Come, let us shout, how? With joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God. Okay? And in his hands are what? The depths of the earth. He really, truly does have the whole world in his hands. Right?
Amen.
See? Everything belongs to him.
Amen.
And he deserves our praise and our honor. See? John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus said that God is a spirit and his worshipers worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, what we need to understand, Jesus is declaring here, worship is not a physical thing, okay, as much as it is a spiritual thing. And so the problem I think that a lot of folks have is that they're limiting their worship to the spiritual part of, or the physical part of it. I go to church, and absent of the spiritual part. You go to church, that's great, but if that's all you're doing, you're just going to church, you get your scorecard punched, you say, well, I'm there. But you're not obsessed with worshiping God, you may as well stay home. Yeah, you heard me right. If all you're doing is coming to worship for the physical aspect, stay home. Don't dishonor God in that way, brothers. Don't dishonor him that way. God is a spirit, and he wants our spirit to join him in praising and worshiping him. He doesn't want us just to come to church so we can check that off and say, I went to church this week. He wants us to join him in spirit and truth. You see? Because we are obsessed with him. When you're obsessed with someone, what do you want to do? You want to be with them as much as you can. Right. We talked about in the previous lesson. If all you're doing in a relationship with someone is showing up because you're obligated to once a week, you need to check that relationship. Okay. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12, verse 1 tells us, keep God's mercy ever before you. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto him. This is your reasonable service. Some translations say spiritual act of worship. When we are willing to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. God no longer wants or requires dead animal sacrifices as he did under the old law. What he wants is us to live our lives in sacrifice to him. And that word sacrifice is a scary word, isn't it? You see? Because sacrifice requires something. Under the old law, that which was sacrificed, when it was sacrificed, it was killed. You see? So in order for us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, we need to die to ourselves. And that will be pleasing, and it will be worship to Almighty God. See? So are you obsessed with worshiping God? Or are you just coming because you feel like you need to be here? Here's a question for you. Watch your toes, okay? Do you get here early, in other words? It's just a way for you to check, you know? Do you get here early and be prepared to worship and look forward to worshiping God like you would if you were going to a movie or a ball game? I mean, think about it this way. How many of you would go to a movie and arrive 20 minutes late for that movie? I mean, you know, you wouldn't even know what the movie was, what was going on in the movie if you missed the first 15 or 20 minutes of it. And we want to go to a ball game, we want to be there for the tip-off, or for the kickoff, or the first pitch, or whatever. We're not going to miss the beginning of those things. This lady right here says it best. Okay? Can you read that back there? Don't tell me church starts too early in the morning when you get up and go to work on time every day. Amen. We need to think about that relationship with God. You see? In terms of are we just kind of casual about it, or are we obsessed with Him? So that He is the first place in our lives. We can't wait for the opportunity that comes for us to get together and spend this time in praise and worship. Yeah. So, are you focused on God? Okay. Or, perhaps right now, are you focused on your plans for lunch? Whenever Russ shuts up and sits down, we get out of here so that we can beat the Baptist to the restaurant.
There you go.
I'm just saying. Okay? Think about it. Because what's in here comes from what's in here. What are you focused on? And finally, we need to be obsessed with loving God's creation. It's all about loving God and loving His creation. That's what we've been talking about through this whole study. But are we obsessed with loving God's creation? Or do we just give that whole concept lip service? You say, well, what would that look like? If we were obsessed with loving God's creation. Notice that he says in the last part of that statement, that question about what the greatest commandment is, the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. He goes on to tell us, the text that we read this morning as we began this morning, I tell you, you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hurt, who hate you, and bless those who persecute or curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. You know, when we talk about loving someone, it's really easy to love those who love us, isn't it? But he's taking this to a whole nother level. And those folks that hurt us, those folks that want to hurt us, who are our enemies, those folks who have hurt us already, he says, look, you got to love them. And this is one of those commandments. Remember we talked about it a few minutes ago. He said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. This is one of those commandments that we'd really rather he didn't give us. Isn't it? Because this is a tough one. But he goes on to say in the latter part of this, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you do good to those who do good to you, he said, what credit is that to you? Even again, sinners do that. And then you loan something to someone who you expect to pay you back. He says, well, what good is that? Again, even sinners do that. They loan to one another expecting to get paid back. What good is it if that's the extent of our love? You see? If we aren't any different from the world, and that's what he's saying, but that's what the world does. If we're not any different from the world, then what good is the faith that we claim to have? Francis Chan in his book says this, I think sometimes we assume that if we are nice, then people will know that we are Christians and they'll want to know more about Jesus. But it really doesn't work that way. I know a lot of people who don't know Christ and are really nice people. Nicer and more fun to be with, in fact, than a lot of Christians I know. You see, Jesus doesn't call on us just to be nice. He calls upon us to love. And that word is agape, and it's unconditional. It's when they treat us good and when they treat us bad. And if we just do it like the world does it, and we only love when people are good to us, then what good is that? If we're not any different than the world, then what do we have to offer the world any different than what they already have? In 1 John chapter 3, John writes to us about this expression of love based on what we do. Okay? And we see someone who's in need. We don't take care of their needs. What good is that? He says, brothers, don't just love with words, but with action.
Right.
And truth. It's not as much of what we say as it is in what we do that demonstrates to the world that we belong to Jesus. You say. And it's not just the people who are good to us, because even the ones who are bad, they are still part of God's creation. And He calls upon us to love them too. Those who are obsessed with loving God's creation move to make a difference in the lives of others. But here's the thing you got to understand. If you desire to make a difference, okay, in this world, then you've got to be different from the world. Otherwise, you'll make no difference. You won't stand out. There's a story that is told about a young boy who's walking on the beach that's just littered with starfish everywhere. The little boy is going along the beach and he's picking up the starfish and throwing them back into the sea as fast as he can. And this older man is there watching. And he finally goes up to the young boy and he says, what are you doing? And he says, I'm trying to save these starfish. And the man says to him, he says, boy, there's too many on here. You can't save all these starfish. What difference does it make? The boy picks up the starfish and says it makes a difference to this one as he throws it back into the sea. And so we need to make a difference. And the reality of it is that, you know, we might not be able to make a difference in everybody's life, but we certainly can make a difference in somebody's life.
Amen.
And it may not make a difference to most people out there, but it will make a difference to that person. And that's what we need to try to do. If your faith doesn't make a difference in the things that make a difference, what's the difference? I like that saying. Okay. So here's a challenge for us. Let's go mad. Okay? We've been talking about God's crazy love for us, and let's go mad. As His followers, as people who are obsessed with loving Him and loving His creation, let's go mad. Let's make a difference in people's lives for Jesus. You see? So I call upon you to think about what difference can you make in somebody's life that's connected to you in some way. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing a song. It's an invitation song. It's an opportunity for anyone to come and say, hey, I need some prayers for this. This is going on in my life. I need help with this. It's an opportunity for anyone who's not yet a Christian to come and say, hey, I want to give my life to Christ. And you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, to repent of the sin that's separating you from God, and have those sins washed away in baptism. You can do that right now this morning. For those who are already Christians, it's an opportunity to be able to look at yourself and to say, okay, wait a minute, what do I need to change in my life so that I can make a difference for Jesus in the lives of others? Let's stand together.